you're like the rest of us and you get your football news from apps on your phone giving you push notifications, you might have thought you were going absolutely insane at some point over this past week, as it just feels like we have devolved further and further into pure insanity in the NFL. I just about lost it today when I saw that pretty much every team is in the running for Odell Beckham Jr., except for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because head coach Bruce Arians said they already have too many letters on their team with A-B, and they can't also add OBJ. So this is where we're at in the NFL now. This is what qualifies as NFL news, because just about everything is going absolutely insane. And here to help us make some sense of all of this insanity is Eric Smith and Ryan Heath. Guys, how are you doing today?
Well, we're in week 10, and it's definitely the midseason lull. I brewed a pot of coffee at 4 p.m. Eastern today, and I'm not sure if it's just because it's the point of the season or, like you said, it's all this news. We had that Monday night game with the ref hip-checking the Broncos player. Like, we've got COVID outbreaks. Odell Beckham's on the loose. It's madness. So I put on a pot of coffee. We'll get through this, but playoffs are coming up soon, man. So we gotta get down to business here because yeah, this is where we make and break our season right here.
Yeah, I mean, every single time I open Twitter on my phone, it feels like I see that one video of the ref checking the Bears player. I just can't escape it. It's like playing over and over in my eyes. Like, it's like I feel like I'm being tortured by this video. It just gets me so angry every time I watch it. And you would think I would desensitize, but it just keeps coming up and keeps like messing with my emotions. I hate it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this Aaron Rodgers saga. Every time his name pops up, there's something else. The fines came out, the news, you know, just how the NFL is holding the Packers and holding Aaron Rodgers, quote unquote, accountable. I don't know if we could really call it that. The stupid Star Wars sweatshirt that he wore on the Pat McAfee show. We're at that point in the NFL season where everything is just completely off the rails. Let's talk about some of the biggest news right now that might be affecting your fantasy teams. Browns running backs Nick Chubb and Demetric Felton both tested positive for COVID. Now, they are both vaccinated, so there is an outside chance that they'll be active for Sunday's game, but we really haven't seen that happen. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen, oh, well, if they just get the two negative tests by Sunday, they'll be fine, and then that doesn't happen. And so they miss a week. So technically there's an outside chance that Nick Chubb plays, but it's just not something we've seen so far this season. And then Kareem Hunt also is not going to be activated from the IR. He would be eligible to play, but he's not ready to play yet. So Cleveland's down to D'Ernest Johnson. And then I guess I saw maybe Jarvis Landry might get some carries, some end arounds. Ryan, what does this do for you with Cleveland? Is this just fire up D'Ernest Johnson and there's nothing else to it?
Yeah, if D'Ernest Johnson is the last man standing here, you fire him up. I mean, this Pats defense has allowed running backs some chunk plays. I mean, I have these visceral memories of random players like Ty Johnson just gashing us over the middle for no reason. So I think D'Ernest Johnson could definitely take advantage if he's given the volume.
Yeah, and the last time D'Ernest Johnson got major volume, he scored almost 25 PPR points as he went for 146 yards rushing, scored a touchdown on 22 carries in a week 7 matchup against Denver. So, you know, definitely a possibility here that he can absolutely have a big game. That was the only time this season that he was the only, you know, healthy Browns running back. Otherwise, he's shared the field with Nick Chubb. So another good opportunity for him to show what he can do. Sticking with the Browns, Odell Beckham Jr. has cleared waivers. Apparently has received interest from the Saints, the Seahawks, the Patriots, I saw maybe the Chiefs in there as well. So there's definitely teams interested in OBJ. Is he someone that you're hanging on to if you had him rostered and are waiting to see where he might sign, or does it not matter where he signs for you?
I wouldn't say it doesn't matter, but I would not want one of these offenses where he's a complimentary piece. I would probably have moved on from him already. We need him to be a volume player, getting, you know, 10 targets a game. If he gets on one of these teams like the Seahawks and is just like a deep threat, I just don't think that's going to be enough to matter for fantasy. So the fact that he cleared waivers means that nobody wanted to pay him that salary. I don't think anyone's just like fighting over him, although maybe the Patriots are one of those teams, but I don't know. Even on the Patriots, like, is that passing game really going to produce a meaningful like wide receiver one in fantasy? I'm a little skeptical. So Personally, I would have already moved on and freed up that roster spot, but I do get it. If you still have him, maybe wait another couple of days and see what happens.
Okay, but he's someone that would certainly be droppable if you needed to, you know, take another lottery shot this weekend, or maybe needed to fill a last minute roster spot. Yeah. You're good with dropping OBJ. Ryan, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think the only team that would get me sort of excited about him would be the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that's a place where there is target volume that he could absorb to potentially be usable in fantasy. But yeah, like the Patriots, Seahawks, those teams don't really move the needle for me. So, and I mean, I will say we said the same thing about Josh Gordon. As long as he goes to the Chiefs, then yep, maybe we're interested. So again, probably just drop him if you need to.
Yeah, I was just about to say that the Chiefs already filled their wide receiver two spot when they signed Josh Gordon. OBJ is going to be sitting there behind them. Dalvin Cook is expected to play this weekend. I'm not going to say anything more about that. I would just say make sure that Alexander Mattison isn't sitting on any waiver wire out there, because while Cook is currently expected to play, we all know that, you know, anything can happen with, you know, the commissioner's office. If he was a Cowboy, he would have already been suspended for 6 games. So just keep an eye on Alexander Mattison. If he's available, go drop Odell Beckham Jr. to pick him up. Just, you know, that's a move you could definitely make. More importantly, though, Minnesota Vikings offensive lineman Dakota Dozier is in the hospital. He has been hospitalized with COVID complications. So obviously we're hoping for him to have a speedy and full recovery. And this is definitely a situation to monitor as head coach Mike Zimmer and 29 other members of the Vikings organization were deemed close contacts and are going to get tested again. So this came out today. We'll have more information tomorrow on how many players on the Vikings could be affected by this. But again, obviously, you know, thoughts are out to Dozier and his family, and hopefully he's out of the hospital soon. Let's end on some lighter news. Carson Wentz's wife is due on Sunday. He told her that he's playing in Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, even if she goes into labor that day. Given that it's Wentz, I think he'd be on kid number 10. Oh, no. I'm thinking of Phillip Rivers. So, I mean, same team, but Carson Wentz has a couple of kids already, right? He can miss the birth of his child.
That was my question, is what number are they on? So I'm honestly not sure, but I mean, if you could miss a game, you'd think it'd be against Jacksonville. So he's really dedicated to football, I guess. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's his second kid. He already was at the birth of his first one. You've seen one, you've seen them all, right?
Right.
Says three guys with no kids.
Yeah, exactly. If his wife's cool with it, hey, who am I to say anything?
All right. So we're going to talk about a couple of players that Eric and Ryan are surprisingly sitting, a couple of players that they're surprisingly starting. On this podcast, we're going to talk about a lot of players. We're not going to talk about everyone. So if there's a player that you miss, head over to QBList.com and check out our Sit Start article where we talk about every single player, have a blurb on every single player that's playing this weekend. That's fantasy relevant. And then Eric is going to also have his rankings on the site. So, you know, with the podcast, with the article, if there's still more that you're looking for, if you need a quick decision made or a tie broken, you can definitely head over to our rankings on the site as well. Click on the list and you'll see Eric's rankings. Eric, who are two players that you are sitting this week that you think everyone else might be starting?
Yeah, so I'm sitting Jordan Howard if I can. I know you look at these last 2 weeks with 3 touchdowns and it looks great, but it did come against Detroit and the Chargers, pretty bad run defenses, and he's just living off this touchdown volume. So I'm trying not to start running backs with a 40% snap share who are touchdown dependent if possible. And then I'm also surprisingly sitting Elijah Moore. I love the talent. He had his breakout week last week, but Corey Davis comes back to health. All of a sudden, it's a crowded receiver core with Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, Jamison Crowder, even Keelan Cole's playing well. You've got Michael Carter out of the backfield. So if I can, I wouldn't mind sitting Moore. I just want to see how this receiving core with Mike White looks kind of at full strength here.
Man, you mentioned all those wide receivers and you didn't even mention the untradeable Denzel Mims.
Exactly.
Which was a piece of news I wanted to talk about last week, but there's so much going on. But the Jets calling Denzel Mims untradeable is hysterical considering he's played in like 11% of snaps this year. Ryan, who are you going to be sitting this week?
Yeah, I'm sorry that we're at this point now, especially for myself, because I like being right and don't like being wrong. But I'm probably sitting Antonio Gibson against the Bucs this week. I mean, he's been getting outsnapped by J.D. McKissic each of the last 3 weeks. The way that running backs have traditionally scored against the Bucs this year is through the air, but McKissic is going to monopolize all of those. it's just very disappointing with Gibson. Maybe he's going to be healthier coming off the bye, but he's really just a touchdown dependent option at this point. And then my other surprising sit is Jeremy McNichols against the Saints. Again, a tough matchup for opposing running backs. I was really thinking that I might be able to sneak McNichols into flex territory, but just with pretty much the even split on the ground with Adrian Peterson. And I mean, he did have the receiving role, but that didn't ultimately amount to much, only 3 targets. So he's not somebody that I'm looking to start this week.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't profile as a good matchup for Jeremy McNichols, if for no other reason than the fact that they should be able to keep it, you know, get and hold a lead against the Saints. And McNichols is definitely more of a play from behind kind of a player with the passing volume that he gets. Although, again, it's not like Adrian Peterson can be out there all the time anyway without, you know, dying. So we need Jeremy McNichols a little bit. So it's kind of surprising that you're sitting him, and definitely hurts to say Antonio Gibson. I know how high you were on him coming into the season, but he just really hasn't gotten it going too much this year. The Washington football team can't get or keep a lead, playing from behind a lot. So definitely tough to see him losing snaps to JD McKissick of all people, but what are you going to do? Eric, give us some optimism. Who are 2 players that you're surprisingly starting this week?
Yeah, I'm going to surprisingly start Devin Singletary. I mean, I know it makes sense with, Zach Moss out with a concussion potentially, but I've just been really down on Singletary. He doesn't score touchdowns, but I mean, this is a good spot. He had a 71% snap share last week without Moss around. So definitely fire up Singletary if you need to. And then I don't think Rashad Bateman should be a surprising start, but he shows up in waiver wire articles every week. Not enough people have added him. Maybe this is the week they have, but he's really getting a lot of work in this Ravens offense that's passing the ball a lot more. He's seen like between a 19 and a 22% target share a couple times over the last few weeks. And he's a rookie, so he should just keep getting better and better. So I really like what I've seen from Bateman. You can fire him up pretty comfortably.
Eric, what roster share percentage do you think Rashad Bateman should have?
I mean, I think he should be rostered in almost every league. I know there are some smaller league types, but he should be up there at like 75% or higher, I would think.
He's still rostered in under 50% of leagues. So he's going to be on waiver wire articles and on most added lists for the next few weeks still. Go get him before he's on another waiver wire article again this week, because, the points haven't been super exciting. He's averaged just a hair under 10 points per game in PPR so far this year. But 5 receptions for 52 yards on 8 targets last week. And they play a pretty bad Miami defense. We'll talk about that in a minute when we talk about Thursday Night Football. Ryan, who are you going to be starting this week?
Yeah, so my surprising starts are both of the Broncos running backs against the Eagles. I have both Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams well within my top 24. The Eagles have averaged 28.5 points allowed to opposing running backs this year. I mean, if you assume they're going to split it down the middle, that's 14 points each, which doesn't sound exciting, but that's a top 24 running back at this point. So I am happy to start either of them. Well, not happy, but surprised and feeling okay about it, I guess I would say. So that's who I'll go with.
Yeah. Over the past 4 weeks, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams have scored double digits in PPR 6 out of 8 possible times between the two of them. And then Javonte Williams scored 9.8 points in PPR one of those weeks. So if we lower the threshold from the completely, round number, arbitrary round number of 10 points to 9.8, they've done it 7 out of the last 8 opportunities dating back to week 6. So, not a huge ceiling, but definitely a really high floor for both of them. And against Philadelphia should be a real good matchup for them. All right, let's talk about some news and notes. Quite a bit to get through this week, so some of this stuff we'll definitely zoom through. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals, who everyone is hurt. Chase Edmonds suffered a high ankle sprain against the 49ers. No surprise, did not practice on Wednesday. Not only is it extremely unlikely he plays this week, but he's probably going to end up on IR. Usually high ankle sprains are 4 to 6 week recovery times. Kind of surprised they haven't just ruled him out already, but I guess they're going to, just kind of test it and just see if it's less severe than typical. How high does this rank James Conner for you? And is there anyone else that you're interested in picking up or rostering in this Arizona backfield?
Yeah, I mean, I've got James Conner at RB13 this week, and that's even against a Panthers defense that's been really good against running backs. It's just the volume is so huge here, and we saw him come through with Colt McCoy, a quarterback. So real strong start. Ryan and I were both talking about Eno Benjamin before the show. We both wanted to have him ranked a little higher. I am intrigued by Eno Benjamin. I think if you're desperate in some deeper leagues, you could pick him up and put him on your bench and see what happens. I do think the drawback to Benjamin is, you know, there's a lot of passing game work to go around in this offense. And I think Chase Edmonds was already a little disappointing in the passing game this year. So I'd be surprised to see, you know, Benjamin do better than Chase Edmonds did, but there's still going to be a little bit of a role here for him. So in deep leagues, go ahead and add, you know, Benjamin as the pass catching back here.
Is he someone that you would add also as like a handcuff to James Conner, who's had his share of injury issues over the past few years?
I don't think he's a handcuff. I believe he's a very small running back. I forget exactly how tall he is, but he does not profile as someone who's going to soak up a lot of volume. So even if Connor got hurt, I would imagine it's Benjamin splitting with a practice squad back or a free agent signing. I don't know if you're on the same page, Ryan, with that one.
Yeah, I would pretty much agree. I think the thesis with Benjamin is that maybe he soaks up some of the target volume here. It could also just go to the receivers on the team, like you've said, because it's already been pretty split. I just want to say that I'm super mad about this whole Chase Edmonds thing. Like, it felt like he was such good process, especially after seeing what James Conner did after Edmonds was out. Like, if the touchdown luck or the injury luck had not just gone completely against him, like, we could have been talking about one of the better mid-round picks this year. But
yeah, I think Rondale Moore hurt him too, because those receivers are pretty much downfield threats, especially the way they're using them. And that could have really opened up a lot of underneath stuff to Chase Edmonds. And I think he was just splitting too much of that work with Rondale Moore. He's just almost like a running back out there at receiver. So I don't know. If they don't draft Rondale Moore, I think maybe the season goes a lot differently for Edmonds.
Well, that's, by the way, going back to James Conner, that's a touchdown leader, James Conner, as he scored 11 touchdowns so far this season, just finds his way into the end zone, which is good because, you know, we're talking about, you know, more work for the receivers. Well, DeAndre Hopkins did not practice. Rondale Moore did not practice. AJ Green did not practice. He's still in COVID reserve list, so we'll see if he's able to get active this week. Rondale Moore missed practice. He's in the concussion protocol. Also, he wasn't really that interesting anyway last week with DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green out. So it's like, I don't even know how interesting. You know, we were so high on him early in the season, but he played 81% of snaps, didn't do a whole lot this past week. So even if he does play, I just don't know if I'd be interested in starting him. And then DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray not practicing is concerning. But, you know, Cliff Kingsbury said again that they don't need to practice in order to start this week. He said that last week about Murray, and then they started Colt McCoy. So obviously I think we'd all feel a little bit better if they practiced at least once this week. So definitely something to keep an eye on. If you have Kyler Murray, you already are rostering a quarterback from this past week. So maybe still roster that quarterback. Not if you
started Daniel Jones on him and cut him out of frustration. I think it was his bye week anyway, but
definitely. Well, definitely if it was Daniel Jones, drop him because the Giants do not play this week. But and maybe listen a little bit later for Ryan's pick on who to stream this week. But a lot of injury news there in Arizona. I will ask though, does any of, like, if Hopkins and Moore and Murray all don't play and Green's not back and the Cardinals are out there with Colt McCoy, Christian Kirk, and James Conner is like the only healthy players in that offense, are you still confident starting James Conner? And I know you're high on Christian Kirk, Eric, so are you confident starting him as well?
Yeah, I mean, they look good with Colt McCoy last week against a divisional opponent in San Francisco. Kirk caught all six targets for 91 yards. I'd feel confident with Kirk. I'd definitely feel confident with Connor. I mean, he's just eating up volume, and they'd have to give it to somebody. And this is against the Panthers team that I would expect almost nothing from on offense. So Cardinals defense has been good, a bunch of short fields, and you can get some scores. So, yeah, I'm pretty interested in this offense, which is surprising with Colt McCoy, quarterback.
Okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Chris Carson were both designated to return from IR. We've not yet had a single player this season who is designated to return and then played in that same week. So I would not imagine that they play this week, but just definitely keep an eye on those situations. Chase Claypool avoided a season-ending injury, but he is going to be week to week with a toe injury. We saw what Claypool being out meant for Pat Freiermuth. So definitely good news there if you roster the Steelers tight end. And I believe he was once again the most added tight end. Is Freiermuth someone that you are definitely starting, or is he kind of more in that, like, if you have some, I mean, obviously if you have one of the elite tight ends, that's one thing, but, you know, has Freiermuth done enough to surpass guys like Dallas Goedert or TJ Hockenson or Dalton Schultz?
I did not move him above Hockenson and Schultz, but I did move him above Goddard. I just don't think Goddard's ceiling's all that exciting. Freiermuth gets the Lions this week, a great matchup. Like you said, there's not a lot of options other than him and Deontay Johnson. Yeah, I'm in on Freiermuth. I mean, he's got four top 12 tight end weeks, so it's more than just, you know, or yeah, it's more than just the last 2 weeks. So it's a bit touchdown dependent, but they got to throw it to someone. And if Roethlisberger likes him, he's going to keep going to him. So yeah, I'm in on Freiermuth. He's my tight end 9 this week.
Yeah, I'm a little lower on him. I do have him at tight end 16. I'd still be happy to start him. I just think that this tight end landscape has suddenly gotten a lot better. Like, there are 20 tight ends that I'm comfortable-ish starting this week. So if you just picked up Freiermuth and he's the best you've got, then go ahead and roll with him. That he probably is the best you've got if you just picked him up. But yeah, I would still start guys like Hockenson, Goddard over him.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that he was added to cover for like Hockenson's bye week, or if someone wasn't feeling confident about starting George Kittle in his first week back from IR. So there's a chance, but you're probably right. If you added Freiermuth, it's because you're looking for an answer at tight end, and it sounds like both of you feel good about him being that answer, at least as long as Chase Claypool is out. The Saints can't catch a break. Alvin Kamara did not practice with a knee injury. It's not believed to be serious, but definitely something to keep an eye on. They've lost Jameis Winston. Michael Thomas isn't coming back. Alvin Kamara is now hurt. So just something to watch closely. Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin both did not practice. Brown has not played since week 6. I think he was a long shot to play this week anyway. Chris Godwin not practicing is definitely a concern as well. I believe Rob Gronkowski also did not practice, or he was limited. So definitely a lot to keep an eye on down there in Tampa Bay. James Robinson still has not practiced. He suffered that heel injury and has not practiced since then. Although head coach Urban Meyer, which is a statement I did not think I'd still be saying this late into the season, is optimistic that James Robinson will play this week, but we'll see as the week progresses. You know, what did you see from Carlos Hyde this past week, Ryan? Is he someone that you would want to start if Robinson is out again, or was it not interesting enough?
I mean, he did dominate the touches, so I think he's fine as like a pinch flex if Robinson is out, and Urban Meyer sure likes him. Let me just say, I think the real winner of all the crazy news from the past couple of weeks is Urban Meyer. No one's talking about that guy anymore. How did he get? How did we let him get away with this?
He's probably the one behind everything. He's planted all of this stuff, and just to get all of it off of him. But you're absolutely right. There was a time when Urban Meyer was absolutely the sideshow of the NFL, and he is now, what, maybe 10th on that list. All right. Damien Harris and Ramondre Stevenson both did not practice as they are still in the concussion protocol. Hey, Ryan, Brandon Bolden, starting running back?
I said before the show that every time there's a question about the Patriots backfield and you both just look to me like, oh yeah, right, like Ryan, say the line. It's like the Simpsons meme. Or I'm Bart and I don't want to say it. But yeah, I guess Brandon Bolden is the next man up here. I mean, JJ Taylor maybe also interesting. We'll see if they pick him up off the practice squad this week. But I would say Bolden probably gets the first shot if neither Harris or Stevenson can play. So I guess that's where we're at with Patriots running backs, and I'd love to not talk about it ever again.
Eric, would you be willing to start Brandon Bolden this week if Harris and Stevenson can't get out of the concussion protocol by Sunday?
I would try not to. They go against the Browns, who have been really good against running backs anyway, and they look like they're at full strength right now on defense. I know the offense has some problems, but they looked really good against the Bengals last week. I just don't know if this is a matchup you want to go after here. It does help that Bolden will catch some passes, but like even if it's Damian Harris, I'm a little worried here because he's got no floor with no pass catching, and this could be a low scoring game here. So I'm not going out of my way to start Bolden, but you know, it's running back. If they're going to get 60% of the snaps, it's probably worth a start, especially if they catch a few passes.
All right. Tim Patrick did not practice. He left Sunday's game late with a knee issue, still bothering him clearly. So he didn't practice this week. We'll keep a close eye on it, but that obviously would be good news for Jerry Jeudy, especially as Noah Fant was activated from the COVID reserve list. So he will play this week. So that's one more person to kind of contend with there for touches in Denver. And we know Bridgewater is not the guy who can, you know, keep four different players, fantasy relevant in the air. So just something to keep an eye on there might affect how you feel about Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Dawson Knox returned to practice in a limited capacity, but that's a good sign. He's coming back from a broken hand. So if he plays this week, you know, Ryan, you said there's 20 tight ends that you'd feel good about. Was Dawson Knox one of those 20?
Yeah, he's one of them. I mean, he's my tight end 13 this week, and that's one of the reasons that there suddenly are a lot of tight ends that we're actually considering, because we've got these guys coming back from injury. So, I mean, the Bills are implied 31 points this week. That's second highest in the league, and Dawson Knox makes his living off of touchdowns, as we know. So the Bills are going to probably lay the smackdown on the Jets after having some trouble the last couple weeks. Could be like a statement game here. So, yeah, I think you can fire him up if he's a full go.
Staying with the Bills, Zach Moss didn't practice. He's in the concussion protocol. Eric already talked about him earlier when he talked about Devin Singletary. So Zach Moss probably not going to play, which means Devin Singletary is startable. T.Y. Hilton practiced on Wednesday. He is tracking towards playing this Sunday. How much does he affect the only Colts player that's actually relevant in the passing game, and that's Michael Pittman? Does Hilton make Pittman and Hines unstartable?
He should not. Pittman is just leaps and bounds better than Hilton at this stage of their career. So I would hope the coaching staff has seen that. I think Wentz has seen that. So I would not expect that to be the case. But hey, crazier things have happened. But I'm still starting Pittman even if Hilton's back. And Naeem Hines is just so boom bust. I mean, he looked so good last week again, you know, but like, who knows? This week he may disappear and it's all Jonathan Taylor. So I'm always kind of on the fence about Hines anyway. I'm not sure that Hilton affects him either.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he should not and he will not are two very different things. And I don't know that Indianapolis knows the difference between the two. And then finally, Sam Darnold is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a shoulder injury. So PJ Walker is going to start. I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. I don't really think it can be a bad thing. It's not like he can get much worse there in Carolina. What do we expect that this might mean for DJ Moore and, dare I say it, Robbie Anderson?
Don't say it. No, I mean, PJ Walker, from the limited exposure I've had to him, just kind of runs around, tries to make plays. He's not a big arm quarterback, but he is mobile. It's a little frantic when you see him out there from what I've seen. So I do think, I mean, DJ Moore is a good enough athlete, a good enough player. You can get the ball in his hands short. So I still hold out some hope for DJ Moore. But no, Robbie Anderson, I hope you've dropped him by now, because I think it's over.
Okay. And then Ryan, walk us through who your best streamers are this week at quarterback, tight end, and defense if you're in a tough position, which you probably shouldn't be, honestly, given the matchups this week in all three aspects. You probably don't need to go streaming, but if you do, help us out, Ryan.
Yeah, so the fact that you probably don't need to go streaming because of how the matchups work out is going to make it way harder on you if you do need to go streaming, because there are 15 quarterbacks I'm pretty happy to start this week, and all of them are rostered in over 65% of leagues. So doing the best with what we have here. Teddy Bridgewater, 28% rostered. He's implied 24 points and favored against the Eagles. This Philadelphia defense shouldn't push him to do more than he's capable of. I'm sure the Broncos will probably want to run the ball like 37 times again. But the good part of that is that they'll probably be in the red zone, so Bridgewater will have opportunity to throw a couple of touchdowns. He had a rushing score last week that saved his fantasy line. But ultimately, I think you can expect like 15 fantasy points, which unfortunately is probably about as good as you're going to get if you're streaming quarterback this week.
All right. And what about at tight end?
Yeah. So at tight end, I have one Mr. Dan Arnold. He's rostered in 26% of leagues and playing the Colts. His target total since joining the team after the first week where he hadn't fully known the playbook are as follows: 8 targets, 5 targets, 7 targets, and 10 targets. That's over a 20% target share in that period. That is first on the team, actually. So he is the number one target for Trevor Lawrence. So in the second half of the season.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's just completely what we predicted. He's second among tight ends this year in targets per snap, which shows that he's being heavily utilized whenever he's on the field. And he's yet to score this season, which, again, he's on the Jaguars, so not particularly surprising, but if he sneaks in a couple touchdowns, he could have a pretty good season when we're looking back on it. And I'll say I only have him at tight end 18 this week. That has a couple of players that may or may not play due to injury above him. But I would feel pretty good about him this week and going forward, just based on these target shares.
Yeah, he's someone that we've mentioned on this podcast multiple times. He's always kind of in like the top three or top four in most added, and yet is still just 26% rostered. So kind of like Pat Freiermuth, if you're in need of a tight end for whatever reason, and you know you haven't found that guy yet, Freiermuth is still available in 56% of the leagues. Arnold, like we said, 26% of the leagues. So there's still definitely options out there for you. And then finally, a defense, which again, this one's really tough. We every week at the end of the show, we do a segment where we talk about the most rostered defenses that you should drop or bench. And the answer this week is like there was no one. So I don't really know who you're going to be streaming because all the good matchups are already pretty heavily rostered.
Yeah, I agree completely. I'll say that there aren't that many highly rostered defenses that I would play this streamer against. But if you've been streaming all year and you're stuck with like the Dolphins on your roster or something right now, then you can look to the Tennessee Titans. They're rostered in 47% of leagues and they get the Saints this week. They are the only home favorite that is under 50% rostered this week. And they get either Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill, probably Siemian, but seems like the New Orleans media is speculating a lot this week. So we'll see what happens there. Either way, I think it's good for the Titans defense. The Saints don't generally give up a lot of sacks, so you're really just hoping for them to keep control of the score here and maybe for a couple turnovers, which I think is very possible.
Yeah, some highly dropped defenses this past week and guys that were heavily rostered were Miami coming off a matchup against the Texans, New Orleans after playing the Falcons and doing, by the way, absolutely nothing defensively against the Falcons. And then the Bengals, who you probably would have been better off dropping before last week started anyway. But all three of those teams have been dropped in a lot of leagues. So if you have one of those three defenses, you might be looking for someone. Tennessee is a good option. All right, let's talk a little bit about Thursday night football. We are going to start talking about, you know, whether we recommend players to sit or start. Remember, all of our recommendations are for 12-team PPR leagues. So just, you know, keep that in mind. Thursday night football this week, we at least have one good team. That's Baltimore. I feel like that's an improvement over what we typically get in Thursday night football. So Baltimore Ravens head to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Just a couple of injury news on this. Latavius Murray is listed as doubtful. I think he got in a limited practice, but it doesn't seem like he's likely to play. And then Jacoby Brissett is expected to start at quarterback for the Dolphins. So, Eric, let's start with Baltimore side. Murray most likely not going to play. You know, what does this mean for the Ravens running game?
Yeah, I mean, it makes Devontae Freeman a pretty solid start here. I think he's looked the best out of this backfield. He's been getting the most work. This offense is moving the ball really well, so I'm feeling comfortable with Devontae Freeman, something I never thought I would say this year. He's RB24, and especially in like a standard league, I mean, I think he's a really good play. So you're going to feel comfortable with him. I would not be going out and starting Le'Veon Bell. He did look a little better last week than he has in the past, but Freeman 13 for 79 and a touchdown last week. That'll work. So really, like, however you look at this Dolphins defense, it's a generally favorable matchup for your fantasy players. So get as many players in your lineup for Baltimore as you can that got to see the field frequently here.
Yeah, let's just make this easy. Is there any Baltimore Ravens starter that you would not play this week?
If Sammy Watkins comes back, I'm not going to start him. but now I'm starting Hollywood Brown. I'm starting Bateman. I'm starting Mark Andrews, Devontae Freeman, not Le'Veon Bell, and Lamar. So, yeah, I'm pretty much starting everyone here.
Yeah, and Lamar, I believe, is all both your and Ryan's number one quarterback of the week. So definitely a juicy matchup. And then on the Miami side of things, with Jacoby Brissett expected to start, what does this mean for the Dolphins players? Is there anyone that you're shying away from in this matchup against Baltimore, Ryan?
Honestly, not really. And the reason for that is because this target tree has just been so condensed. Devontae Parker is now on IR, so really, the only options for Brissett are Mike Gesicki, Myles Gaskin, and Jalen Waddle. And we've seen all three of those players have success with him at varying points this season. So I think all of them are startable. I have Gesicki as a solid tight end one. He's my sixth highest ranked tight end this week. Jalen Waddle is a flex play, wide receiver 29. And Gaskin is safely inside my top 24 running backs. So I really don't think it matters that Brissett is the quarterback.
Yeah, all three of those players that you mentioned had six or more targets last week. And then going back 1 week further, when Devontae Parker was healthy, he had 11 targets 2 weeks ago. But even then, Gesicki and Gaskin each had four targets, and Waddle had 11 in that game as well. So you're absolutely right. A very condensed target tree. So a lot of volume there. Is Brissett stream? No, he's not. Okay. We don't need to talk about Jacoby Brissett too closely. Well, that's it for Thursday Night Football. It doesn't seem like there's really any borderline players. Eric, is there anyone on Miami side that you're feeling a little bit more borderline about that you might have to think long and hard about if you want to make that decision on Thursday versus waiting for a better option on Sunday?
No, I think Ryan covered Miami pretty well. There's a lot of clear starts here. And even like when Brissett's quarterback, he still had like he's throwing 40 to 49 times a game. Like it's not going for a lot of yardage, but in PPR leagues, we're getting a lot of receptions out of these Brissett games. So no, I think especially with all the injuries and COVID stuff, I would get players in this game in your lineup on Thursday night and just lock in those points.
All right, let's move on to running backs. So we'll start with the most added running backs, and we've talked about a handful of these already because you know they're added, you know, because the injury news or something like that. Like Devontae Freeman, who had a good game, and Latavius Murray probably isn't going to play. Jordan Howard, Dearness Johnson, Brandon Bolden, Alexander Mattison, and Eno Benjamin. Really, of the guys that are on this list, the only one that we have some, I mean, Eno Benjamin, we straight up were like, this is not someone that is going to be a good stash candidate. Maybe he gets some passing work out of that backfield. Ryan Heath loves Brandon Bolden, so you can definitely fire him up. I'm just kidding. But Dearness Johnson, you can fire up. Jordan Howard is kind of a play. I know you don't want to trust him, Eric, but, yeah. You know, I mean, talk to me about Boston Scott and Jordan Howard in this Eagles backfield one more time.
I mean, the problem I'm having is that they're both in the 40% range of snaps here. I mean, and Kenny Gainwell hasn't completely gone away. You know, he's taken some of these snaps. So it's just awfully split up. And I think there's been one combined target for this backfield over the past 2 weeks. So there's just no passing game floor in a PPR league. I really don't think, like, they've had two really good rushing game matchups. And I know that they've been pounding the ball on the ground, but I don't necessarily think this is a good running game either. So you've got two players on a 40% snap share, no passing game work. You're looking for touchdowns. You know, it's not something that I'm going after in most leagues. So I do agree. Like you can start Jordan Howard. You know, we've been starting James Conner this year when he's just been a touchdown back, but it's just a lot better offense. So it makes like a poor man's James Conner, I guess I would say, but Denver just looked awfully good on defense. It's on the road. I just don't have the hope here for this Eagles backfield that I think some other people do, but there are worse RB2s out there if you're decimated by injuries and bye weeks.
The only thing I want to add to that is, yes, as you said, both around 40% snap share, Jordan Howard is the new James Conner, but I will point out, count them, 13 red zone opportunities for Jordan Howard in the last 2 weeks. So that's really is what makes the difference for me. I have Jordan Howard at RB28. I'm not trying to start him, but he's a viable flex play. And it's because of that red zone opportunity. Scott only has 5 in that period. So they clearly prefer him. They just want to give him the ball in the red zone all they possibly can. So I'll ride it if I have to.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the preseason here and picture us spending 6 minutes on Jordan Howard and how we would feel at that moment. So that's where we are. It's week 10.
Well, I mean, you know, Adrian Peterson is also someone we have to talk about. So this is just where we're at. Rank the most added running backs for me in terms of startability this week. And I'm going to throw in a couple of running backs that were added a lot last week to this list as well. So we'll just say Devontae Freeman, Jordan Howard, Dearness Johnson, as well as Adrian Peterson. Which of those rank those four for me in terms of how you want to start them this week?
Devontae Freeman, Dearness Johnson, Jordan Howard, Adrian Peterson. I mean, obviously, if all the Browns running backs are out there, then you can probably bump Howard above Dearness, but that's the order I'm going with.
Yeah, I agree completely. If Johnson is the last man standing in Cleveland, then he's the clear number one, and then I would go Freeman, Howard, Peterson.
Okay, so not a whole lot from Peterson this past week that got you guys excited. All right, so every week we kind of go over the must-start running backs, and honestly, it's a lot of the same obvious choices here. Don't overthink it. If there's someone that, you know, is really, honestly, with Eric's rankings, pretty much his top 20 is who he's considering must-start guys. So even as far down as, like, Daryl Williams against Las Vegas, Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs. There's a lot of running backs that, you know, just don't overthink it, fire them up, and be good to go. But, you know, some real decision points that have to be made as we get kind of closer to the mid-20s. Let's start with Michael Carter. They play a really tough Buffalo Bills defense, and there's now with the wide receiver core a little bit healthier, and, you know, there's some traction that Tevin Coleman might be back a little bit. I don't really know, but is Michael Carter someone that you feel confident starting or that people should feel confident starting with the way he's been playing lately?
It's tough because I'm really impressed with him as a player, but this Bills defense is possibly the toughest to play from a fantasy perspective for running back. I mean, outside of like a monster game from Derrick Henry, you just look up and down the weekly list and there's not a whole lot in the double digits against the Bills. So this is a tough matchup for him. And it really comes down to the passing game work, I think, for him. We'll see. Hopefully Mike White is healthy and back up to speed because Josh Johnson did not look his way very much at all last week. So if we can get Mike White out there, it's going to bump him a little bit. I've got Michael Carter at RB25, kind of right on the borderline there. And again, it's not because of a lack of talent. It's just we went from those 9 targets and 14 targets with Mike White to 2 targets last week. So with White back out there, he gets a bump. Hopefully White can last the whole game, though. That's all I would say.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot to add there. I agree that you really hope those targets come back with Mike White, hopefully playing the whole game. He's my RB24. You're most likely starting him. It's kind of unlikely that you have that many better options, but if you're kind of stacked, then I think you can leave him on the bench this week. It is a very tough matchup.
Yeah, and we'll sidetrack us here, but I'm always amazed at these backup quarterbacks. It feels like it's about a 50-50 shot that they get hurt within their first 2 games coming in. So they don't quite have the ability to stay healthy like these 10-year veterans do in the NFL, that's for sure. So I hope Mike White can right the ship, but I'm not counting on it necessarily.
Also, Zach Wilson's expected to be back by week 11, so it's like a 1 week back for Mike White. But I mean, who knows what'll happen? There's no guarantee that Wilson will be back for week 11. We talked about Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick already. You know, kind of just Ryan is as high as he was on Gibson early on in the season. That this has just not been the kind of game scripts for him. Washington has not been in the lead hardly ever. And despite the fact that Gibson's a converted wide receiver, he was a wide receiver in college, now is a running back, they don't use him in the passing game. And you don't want to play a running back against Tampa Bay if he's just, you know, running the ball. It's not a good look. So definitely tough to start Antonio Gibson this week. You both have J.D. McKissick ranked higher than Gibson. So if you have both, which I actually do in a league, you're going to play McKissick above Gibson, as weird as that sounds. Let's talk about Alex Collins. Chris Carson is designated to return from IR, but as I mentioned earlier, they typically don't come back and play the first week after being designated to return. So we probably have one more week of Alex Collins, the bell cow. You know, what with Russell Wilson potentially under center again, do we think that might open up more running lanes for Collins this week and give him some chance at you know, fantasy relevance?
Yeah, I mean, that will certainly help. I mean, I think it kind of comes down to Collins is healthier, though. He's been banged up as well. And actually, his last 2 games, weeks 8 and 7, he was more in the 47%, 39% snap share range. They've been playing Rashad Penny and Travis Homer and even a little DJ Dallas. So that's my big concern with Collins here is, do we really want a touchdown-dependent option? Again, it's kind of like with the Eagles backs here, that's going to play 40-ish percent of the snaps. So if he's fully healthy and he gets back up to that like 60% snap range, that's one thing. But I'm just a little skeptical about Collins, about his health. He's a little bit older in the league. So I don't know. I'm looking to not start Collins if I can, even if Wilson's back.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I have him just slightly above Jordan Howard and Antonio Gibson. And it's a very similar situation here. Like, if Russell Wilson's back, then what that means is that Collins hopefully is in the red zone more, because the Seahawks offense will be humming a little bit better. But I mean, if he's not scoring the touchdown, like just 10 carries in week 8, he's not getting it done from a volume perspective. So you just need him to fall into the end zone.
All right. And then let's talk about AJ Dillon. You know, Dillon has had kind of an up and down season. He's had some weeks where he's been really involved in the passing game. He's had some weeks where he's, you know, really dominated in carries. Aaron Jones just had a complete dud of a game. You know, what are we doing? Is AJ Dillon, like, it feels like he's in purgatory in terms of like I always want more from him, and I think he can do more, but also Aaron Jones is ahead of him. You know, at what point can we make a decision on AJ Dillon, or is he just someone you every week have to plug your nose and put in your flex spot?
Yeah, I want to be higher on him, but I've got him at RB 34. It's just, we know Jones isn't going away. I know Jones's fantasy managers have been a little disappointed lately, but he's a talented player. He could have one of those monster blow up weeks at any point. So there's just not that much room left for Dillon. He hasn't seen like a super huge increase in snaps. This is a really nice matchup against Seattle. They're bad against running backs from a fantasy perspective. So as always, there's a chance he breaks a run. He's caught a few passes here or there. If you're in emergency mode, then get him in there. He's at least talented and in a good offense, but it's just from week to week. It's hard to trust him, and we haven't really seen that much of a ceiling either. So I think we're still just waiting for an injury at this point.
Yeah, I mostly agree. His usage has been very strange. Like last week, he just randomly had 4 targets. The week before, he randomly had 16 carries. And I mean, notably, those were the weeks where Davante Adams was out, and then the next week, Aaron Rodgers was out. So Packers offense was obviously a little bit strange in those times. But overall, yeah, I mostly agree. I have him at RB 34. He's not someone I want to start. It does suck. It feels like in purgatory, like you never know whether he's going to have a potentially big week. It's weird because I almost want to, even though they're physically complete opposites from a fantasy like numbers perspective, I'd almost compare him to Nyheim Hines, where you really just have no idea what the usage is going to be from week to week, but you know that there is upside there, at least theoretically.
Yeah, I think AJ Dillon could eat Nyheim Hines, so yeah, they could not be further apart. All right, let's move on to wide receiver. Unless there's any other running backs that you guys feel you want to touch on before we move on.
No, I think we hit most of them. I would say, like, Mark Ingram, there have been rumors about Kamara's injury. We don't quite know how banged up he is. Like, there are worse bench stashes, I think, than Mark Ingram. It's an offense that knows how to run the ball. So, hopefully, Kamara's fine. We don't really have much indication that he's hurt bad. But, you know, if something happened to Kamara, that's a massive opening.
All right. And then moving on to wide receivers, we'll start again with the most added list, because these are guys that, you know, people are picking up. They might think they can play right away. And, you know, that tops off with Elijah Moore, who just had, you know, obviously his biggest game of his career, scored 2 touchdowns and just absolutely went off against Indianapolis. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, who now moves up into a starting spot in the Cleveland wide receiver core. You know, maybe Baker Mayfield will actually look at him as opposed to the guy that he is replacing in that starting wide receiver spot. So what's your level of excitement for Elijah Moore and for Donovan Peoples-Jones?
I'm excited about Moore long term. I just, like I said up top, it's a crowded receiving core now, and I mean, we do need to take into consideration that it wasn't Mike White last week when he broke out, so you never know how that connection is going to go from week to week with different quarterbacks in there. So love Moore from a long-term perspective. And he's got upside for sure, but I'm just not rushing to get him in my lineup. And then Peoples-Jones, I just don't really get the appeal. I mean, this is not a great passing game. It's not a volume passing game in Cleveland. He's living off of big plays. One of those big plays from a week or two ago was a Hail Mary touchdown that he caught. Like, there's a ton of talent here, but it's just kind of that classic, like, deep threat receiver that's going to be boom bust. And I haven't seen anything to convince me that he's, like, an integral part of the offense that's going to get 8 targets a game all of a sudden. So Peoples-Jones, I'm just not in on. Maybe I'm going to miss the boat here, but I'd be very surprised if he takes over this receiving core.
Yeah, I largely agree. Just 3 targets for Peoples-Jones last week, and people are acting like it was the biggest breakout they've ever seen for some reason. But yeah, he had the long touchdown, but I mean, I don't think he's done anything all that different than Odell Beckham has been doing this year, which is just sparse target shares, occasionally catching a long ball. So I don't think he's somebody that you're going to be that interested in going forward. Elijah Moore, like Eric said, definitely interested long-term. Definitely want to see what the offense is going to look like with Corey Davis back. I will say that I saw a stat on Twitter today, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was from, but Elijah Moore's catchable target rate is above 70% in the last 2 weeks, where it's been down around 50% from weeks 1 through 7. So is that an indictment of Zach Wilson? Probably. And I think I'm okay with that.
yeah. And also to mention Corey Davis, I think we talked about this, but Corey Davis did practice on Wednesday. So he's back in the fold as well, giving the Jets now 3 healthy receivers. You know, the real excitement and the player that I think we definitely need to talk about, because I need to know, and many, you know, 68% of fantasy managers on Yahoo need to know, is Brandon Ayuk. Is he back? Is this real? 2 weeks in a row now of double digits in PPR. He scored a 2-point conversion last week, scored a touchdown this week, had a combined 15 targets, 10 receptions, and whatever 45 plus 89 receiving yards is. I think it's like 134 receiving yards over the past 2 weeks. Is Ayuk startable again?
He's on the borderline. I got him wide receiver 36. He's not back to what he was last year yet. We haven't seen those highs yet from him. I think a couple of the issues for me, obviously we've seen Kyle Shanahan just change on a dime about the players he likes and the players he hates. So that's always in play. It's not the, you know, you look at someone like Van Jefferson, who I have ahead of him. It's a really good offense. He's on the field a ton. I'd kind of rather take my chances. We're ultimately relying on Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan to get the ball to Ayuk here. He's still behind Debo. So as much as I want to be in on Ayuk, I'm not 100% there yet. But he's definitely rosterable. You should pick him up if he's out there. And he can be started in the flex or wide receiver 3 if you need to. But the Rams are a tough matchup. I would expect they're a little mad after last week's game. I don't know if they're getting Von Miller this week or not, but that could be a really tough matchup for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give the same take as I did in the preseason just on this 49ers pass catchers group. There, with three of them healthy, there's just not enough volume to go around week to week. It's just a target squeeze. They like to run the ball. I mean, they haven't been as dominant from a real life perspective, so they've been in at least some negative game scripts this year. But I just don't see Brandon Ayuk, as long as Kittle and Debo are both healthy, being someone that you can start week to week. I mean, I have him wide receiver 43. He's a super desperation flex if you've got to. And if you have him in Dynasty, then you're probably not as panicked as you were a month ago. But that's really all I have to say about him.
Yeah, Ayuk still behind Debo Samuel in targets each of the last 2 weeks. A lot closer than it's been at any point this season, but still behind Debo. And then this past week, 2 weeks ago, Garoppolo only threw the ball 28 times, and Ayuk was able to receive 8 of those targets. This past week, with George Kittle return, Kittle and Ayuk tied with 8 targets, but it took Garoppolo 40 attempts to get 8 targets for Brandon Ayuk. So I definitely can understand the hesitation there. I don't know, though. Maybe Ayuk brought like cupcakes or something for Kyle Shanahan, and that's the difference. I mean, I got to start a game as a JV high school basketball player because I reminded my coach of our no sodas on game day rule. And he was like, thanks for holding me accountable, Miles. And he put me in the starting lineup. And I was like, oh, my God, that's not what I didn't want to start for that. I wanted to earn it. And then everyone looked at me weird. Anyway, that's probably what happened with Brandon Ayuk. Let's talk wide receiver rankings. Again, as with running backs, is, you know, a lot of wide receivers, it's just automatic. You start them. There's a few wide receivers that people might be concerned about kind of in the automatic start range. So let's talk about them. And feel free. We're going to do like a 1 to 10, like how concerned are you ranking. So 1 being, why'd you even ask me about this guy? And 10 being, I don't want to play him. Let's start with Tyreek Hill, just because of the way Patrick Mahomes has been playing. And we're going to talk about Mahomes a little bit later. But are you at all concerned about Tyreek Hill with the lackluster play from Mahomes?
No, he's a 1 for me. He seems the least affected by all this. And we've just seen the ups. It's just too big. He put up a 48-point PPR week this year. So now Tyreek Hill's a 1 for me.
Also a 1 for me. Not worried about it at all. I mean, the Chiefs' struggles have really been off the backs of a lot of turnovers that have kind of like all gone against them when they would generally all go for them in years past. That could just kind of be luck evening out eventually. So I think Tyreek is still a threat to put up 40 points every week. So not worried.
All right. Let's talk about CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, as the Cowboys did whatever. That wasn't football, so I don't know what they were doing against the Broncos. But CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, both had good a number of targets, but what's your level of concern for the two of them?
So I'm judging CeeDee Lamb just based on the expectations. I'll give him like a 3, only in a sense that like we've seen him bottom out a few of these weeks, a lot more than you'd like to see from a true wide receiver 1. So the talent's there, both from him and his quarterback. The volume is there most weeks. But there is enough of a little worry where it's like, is he more of a high-end wide receiver 2 with all the weapons in this passing game? So Yeah, he's about a three, and I put Cooper maybe at a four. He's just a little bit above. Cooper had not been really that exciting for several weeks until that Cooper Rush game. So that was his best week since week one. So there's a little bit more worry on Cooper, but I think expectations are also lower on him. So overall, not worried, too good of an offense, but maybe not the slam dunk wide receiver one we were hoping for here.
Yeah, I'm not crazy worried about either of them. They haven't smashed their average draft positions from the preseason, but I mean, I kind of thought both of them were maybe going a little higher than they should have been anyways because of the amount of optimism around the Cowboys offense. I will say Vegas is very not worried about the Cowboys. They have the highest implied total of the week at 32 points. So they're probably going to destroy the Falcons this week. So I would still fire both of them up and feel good about it.
All right. And then after an absolutely huge October, how are we concerned Jamar Chase has turned back into a pumpkin?
So, I mean, I think we should have expected this. I mean, he was living on big plays. The offense isn't the most well-designed thing in the world. So he's right in that 3 to 4 range for me. If you were expecting him to be a top 5 wide receiver, then yes, this is like a 7 or 8 on the scale. But I think those expectations were just too high.
Okay, he's not even playing this week. I just wanted to make you talk about Jamar Chase. And then lastly, let me ask about two wide receivers that, I mean, they're both over 97% roster. They're both, they're going to stay on rosters, but I think there's real cause for concern. And you know, maybe you guys, you know, can correct me on that. But DJ Moore and Mike Williams.
Yeah, DJ Moore is probably a solid 6 just because of his quarterback play. I mean, it's bad. So, I mean, still seeing the volume, you know, 7 targets last week, 8 the week before, lots of double-digit target weeks. It's just not resulting in much right now. So there's a legitimate concern there with his quarterback play, but I do think he's still a wide receiver too most weeks. Mike Williams, it's like at an 8 for me. I'm at the point with Mike Williams where I'm just not going to start him if I can until I see a week. Like, we've seen 5 targets 3 straight weeks here. He's failed to crack double digits for the last 5 weeks. So there's enough of a track record in his career that we can kind of maybe write off that early season explosion. So I'd rather bench him, wait for the next explosion, and then get him back in my lineup. Because I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if teams have adjusted or what, but it's been ugly lately.
Yeah, I agree on Mike Williams. I'm much more worried about him than DJ Moore. I mean, as you said, there is a track record of him just kind of being this outside decoy. 5 targets a game is more in line with what we've seen through his career. And I mean, this has also kind of coincided with the Chargers offense as a whole coming back to earth, with this target distribution really shifting from him back to Keenan Allen inside. So I would say I'm pretty worried, and I don't think he's an automatic start or anything. He's my wide receiver 27 this week, but there's a lot of guys that I would be happy to start over him.
All right. And DJ Moore.
Sorry, I forgot to talk about DJ Moore. Yeah, I would say he's like a 5 out of 10 worry for me. I mean, we've seen him perform with poor quarterback play before, basically his entire career. I don't know that PJ Walker is going to be that much worse, but I don't think the upside is necessarily there. I mean, he can always make a living on yards after the catch, but the days of him being a possible top 5 guy like some people were hoping for after the first month of the season are probably gone.
All right, and then finally, I mean, there's not really anything actionable here. You both have him in your top 15 at wide receiver, but I just want to know why the concern for Stephon Diggs, who, by the way, has been double digits in PPR every week except for one. So why the cause for concern?
Yeah, so I mean, he really lived off volume last year. I do think, you know, having Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley and Dawson Knox and all these options in the passing game is hurting a little bit. But it's really, I think it's the touchdown scoring. He's not one of these receivers that's going to score like 15 touchdowns for you. He's only got 3 this year, and that's what's holding him back. I mean, even last year during his monster year, the 8 touchdowns is not why he was so good. It was the 127 catches and 1,500 yards. So I think without that touchdown floor a lot of receivers have, it's just all volume-based here. And we've seen enough struggles from this offense and enough struggle from – or just enough competition for targets. I do think there's a little concern if you're going to get that, like, wide receiver 5 overall season from him. So, overall, like you said, you're starting him. He's still an excellent fantasy player. But if you took him in the first round instead of a running back, you're probably kicking yourself right now.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the running back that you didn't
yeah,
take.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I would mostly just echo what Eric said there. Something I'll add is that Diggs only has 30% of his team's air yards so far this year. That sounds pretty good. Like, if you're talking about a 30% target share, you're like, ooh, that sounds awesome. But really, like, the top receivers can approach a 40% air yard share. And I mean, if you're not going to be up in that high ceiling for air yards, then you need to make your living off of touchdowns. And like Eric said, that's just not the type of player that Stephon Diggs has been. So I think he's still someone you're starting every week, but he's not an elite option.
All right. Yeah, definitely understand that. He's put up the points, but the ceiling hasn't been there for him so far this year. He's only eclipsed 20 points one time, which is kind of a mark that, not that you expect from, you never expect, 20 plus points from a wide receiver, even in PPR, but if you're picking a guy in the first two rounds of wide receiver, you're definitely hoping for more than one 20 plus point performance so far this season, especially when, you're in an offense that has scored as many points as the Bills have this year, not this past week, notwithstanding, because I don't think anyone knows what happened. Both the Bills and the Cowboys must have been in the middle of filming whatever the NFL version of Space Jam is, because all of their talent was taken by whatever the NFL version of the Monstars is. Anyway, a couple other wide receivers we need to talk about, just kind of some guys that you guys are high on that the rest of the field isn't, or vice versa. Let's start with Devontae Smith. We talked about him last week. Ryan, you were the high man on him. You were the high man on him again. So sell us on your Devontae Smith love.
Yeah, hey, it paid off for me last week. I was almost expecting it not to. I was getting a little nervous, to be honest, but it was pretty validated. I mean, here's the thing with Devontae Smith. Like, when you just look at his raw target totals, they're very volatile. Like, he was under four targets in week eight. But when the Eagles are throwing, they're throwing to him. I mean, he's had a 28% target share the last three games. And as I said, was just talking about air yards, Devontae Smith has over 40% of his team's air yards this year. So if the Eagles are throwing, then he's the one that's going to put up that 20-point PPR game. So I have him as a back-end wide receiver too, just because there's pretty good blow-up potential every single week.
Eric, is there, why are you lower on Devontae Smith? You're still higher than the consensus, but you're much lower on him than Ryan. What's your reasoning for that?
It's just Jalen Hurts, a quarterback. I mean, he's good for fantasy. He runs a lot. I just still don't trust him operating a high volume offense here. So, I mean, you know, his target share is good. You look at the overall volume, though. He had six targets last week, three the week before, nine. He's a playmaker. He's going to make plays. He's going to have really good weeks. But I do think the floor is a little bit lower than some options around there. So that's the main reason. It's for the floor. It really depends on how much you value upside, how much you value safety. And hopefully he just keeps getting better as the year goes on. He's a rookie, but it's just not a high volume passing offense in my eyes.
Okay. Let's talk about Jerry Jeudy. You guys aren't that far apart from him, especially compared to consensus, but I will say he's coming back from injury. A lot of people were very high on him, had been waiting a long time for this. And we've gotten the kind of weeks where, like, okay, we probably should have expected he was only going to play a little bit against Washington. Dallas, they really worked him in, made sure they were getting him the ball in short yardage situations, which is not typical for him. But I would say probably the tenor around Jeudy is maybe like cautiously optimistic or tentatively optimistic. But now Noah Fant is back, so that's not good. But Tim Patrick might not play. That could be good. Where are you landing on Jeudy? Are you trying to get him into your lineup, or are you finding yourself placing players in there above him more so?
No, I am trying to get him in my lineup. I've got him wide receiver 27. And I watched that whole, the condensed version of that Cowboys-Broncos game because I wanted to know what in the world happened. And Jeudy was the one who they were designing short passes to get the ball in his hands. It was clearly he was the priority to get the ball, short catches near the line of scrimmage, which I think is encouraging. It shows that they want him to be more featured than Sutton and Patrick. And I do think Patrick being out is a pretty significant injury, helps Jeudy significantly. So I'm pretty confident here. He's working his way back into shape, but he looks healthy. He looks like himself. So really the hesitations here are just, kind of another low volume passing offense. Bridgewater's not that exciting, but we've seen him produce for, DJ Moore in the past, or Robbie Anderson. So I like Jeudy the most going forward. I think Sutton is the one to be the most worried about, but Judy's just such a good route runner. He's going to get open. So start him if you can.
All right. And then Ryan, you know, you're pretty high on a player from the other side of that game. Well, he didn't play in that game, but a player on the Cowboys, and that's Michael Gallup. Now, when I say high, you have him at wide receiver 33. So it's definitely not like a slam dunk start or anything, but he is going to be playing this week against the Falcons. His first game back since week one. You know, why do you feel confident, you know, firing him back up there in his first game back?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Gallup is just a quality, talented receiver. I mean, he commanded 7 targets in pretty much just one half of football in week one. Obviously, this does depend on his health. If he doesn't seem like he's going to play a full complement of snaps on Sunday morning, then I probably wouldn't be messing around with starting him. But I mean, it's just really the same thesis as the preseason. Gallup got really unlucky last year. He faced pretty much a murderer's row of really dominant outside cornerbacks. He was just absorbing all of that coverage. So I think he's a guy that could just score a touchdown and take off from here through the rest of the season. As I said, Cowboys are implied 32 points this week. So that's somebody, if I'm looking to start a third receiver on a team this week, then it's definitely him.
Yeah. And I think one thing to keep an eye on, I mean, Blake Jarwin just went on IR. The Cowboys were really able to play a lot of 2-wide sets as opposed to 3-wide while Gallup was out, because Jarwin and Schultz are good tight ends. With Jarwin out, that does kind of signal maybe they go back to a lot of 3-wide sets. I think we could have been worried about Gallup if they had both of those tight ends. Maybe his snap share is lower. But if we can get him back healthy and playing his full set of snaps, this may transition back to a 3-wide offense, and that's going to be huge for Gallup.
Yeah, we don't really have any other good tight ends, so I would not expect to suddenly see 2 tight end sets, you know, still being out there with Jarwin now on IR, which totally sucks because it definitely helps with our blocking. But anyway, Cowboy fandom notwithstanding, let's talk about quarterbacks. We have to talk about Patrick Mahomes because, I mean, look, I know that anyone out there who rostered and drafted Patrick Mahomes is not actually sitting here wondering if they should be benching him or dropping him or whatever. But I mean, he's averaged 12.5 points over the past 3 weeks, 18.5 points over the past 5. And that's in 6 point per passing touchdown league. So that's in like the, you know, hey, we're giving you extra points scoring for quarterbacks. You know, how many quarterbacks are you starting over Patrick Mahomes? Is there anyone that you might have picked up on waivers that you're starting over him? And if you roster Mahomes, might you pick up a second quarterback right now just to, you know, hedge your bets moving forward?
Yeah, so I've got him a QB10 this week, which sounds really bad for Mahomes. I get it. But, I mean, the names ahead of him are, you know, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Stafford. Like, there's just a lot of good quarterbacks right now. So as bad as QB10 sounds, I'm still starting him. There aren't any waiver quarterbacks I'm playing over him. It's just been, you know, he's only got 2 top 5 QB finishes on a weekly basis this year. And, you know, QB7 is just not getting it done for a high draft pick at quarterback. So I think there's reasons to be concerned. I still would not go out and get someone, though. He's got Las Vegas and Dallas the next 2 weeks. They're going to have to put up points. I trust him and Andy Reid enough to figure this out. So not complete panic here, but I do think we need to readjust expectations going forward because it takes a lot to crack that top 5 quarterback range. You either have to be a running quarterback or just a mutant like Tom Brady. So I don't know. He's got to get back to just, 300 plus yard passing days to get back into that top 5. And he's a little bit away from it right now.
Yeah, I mean, there is a 51.5 point over under for this game against the Raiders. So like Eric said, you're starting him this week. The problem with going out and trying to stash somebody else to hedge your bets with him is I don't know who you're going to stash. Like at this point in the season, I don't think there's that many quarterbacks on the waiver wire that offer a whole lot of upside. Justin Fields is one you could argue, but he's probably stashed in these leagues where you would want to stash another quarterback. So I am just not sure what the actual transaction or actionable move is here. Obviously, it's unfortunate. I have him at QB6 this week, which is maybe a little bit high. But overall, I'm not sure what else you're going to do.
Would you add Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan to the roster? Both guys are below 70% rostered. Would you grab either of those guys just to hedge your bets there?
I really don't think so. Like, I still feel pretty firmly better about Mahomes than I do Wentz or Matt Ryan for the rest of the season. So I do like Wentz this week. I'll say he's my QB 12. He's the guy I was hoping I could use as a streamer, but as you said, the rostership percentage is really high.
All right. Is there any quarterback that, this is just such a chalk week, it feels like, but are there any quarterbacks that you're keeping a close eye on, or anyone that we might be, talking about next week as a solid starter?
I mean, Fields is on a bye. He would be one of them, clearly. No, I don't know about any long-term here. I do think, like, Taylor Heinicke, if you're desperate in the league, he's playing Tampa Bay. The game script's going to be in his favor. He's not very good, but maybe you can get some volume here out of him. But, no, I don't know. It's one of those weeks where you're kind of locked in, I think, at the position. It's not a lot of surprises here. That's about it for me as well.
Okay. Let's move on to tight end. We talked about tight end quite a bit so far today. Ryan mentioned that there's about 20 tight ends that he feels pretty good about starting. Eric, what's that number for you? How many tight ends this week do you feel good about starting?
It's not at 20. I do also have Dawson Knox and Rob Gronkowski out of my rankings, just thinking they won't start. So that does limit it a little bit. I would go about 15 deep. I think once you get past like Hunter Henry in the rankings, I've kind of talked down Jared Cook in the past, and Zach Ertz, I'm not real excited about while the offense is, possibly relying on a backup quarterback. So once you get down to that range, I'm not feeling great. But I mean, Hunter Henry, Tyler Conklin, Tyler Higbee, Dan Arnold, that's kind of the back range of the ones I trust. And I do feel pretty good about starting them.
All right. And Logan Thomas was another tight end that you guys were different on in the rankings. We don't know his status yet for Sunday. So Eric, you have him down basically outside of your rankings altogether. Ryan, you have him at tight end 8. If Logan Thomas is starting this weekend, Eric, are you starting him?
Yeah, so he's just in my rankings at the bottom, so I remember to see if he's playing this week. So that's where he's ranked for me. So I've got Albert O at tight end 18 against Philadelphia, so he's going to at least be there. I do trust Logan Thomas once he gets back and healthy. So he probably bumps up right around to tight end 15 at least. I think I'd feel comfortable playing him as long as we know he's getting the full snap share.
All right. And then some of the guys we mentioned earlier on in the show, Dan Arnold, Eric, you have him at tight end 12, Ryan, tight end 18. But again, that's startable for Ryan this week. Pat Freiermuth is in Eric's top 10. So definitely a couple of guys you could easily pick up off the wire and would be startable this week for you. Finally, defense. We talked about it early. There's really no defenses. All the defenses that are currently rostered have pretty good matchups this week. It's not really any obvious sits or drops. Ryan, your streamer of the week at defense was Tennessee as they take on a decimated Saints offense. Eric, did you have any other defenses that you are looking at closely?
Yeah, I had Tennessee up at defense 11, so I agree with that. I think there's some upside. They've been playing really well lately. We saw them get a lot of pressure up the middle on Stafford, so I really like that play. Other than that, though, it gets a little ugly. You can play the Eagles against Denver. I think that Denver offense really struggles, even though they looked good last week. But no, I think it's pretty much the usual suspects here that you're starting. I like both the Browns defense and the Patriots defense in that matchup. Those are two really good defenses. So that's kind of what I'm looking at this week.
All right, well, that'll do it for us here this week. Again, if we did not mention a player that you want to hear about or want to see more about, go to our website, QBList.com, and check out the Sit Start article, or join the Discord and you can bug us directly about it and ask us who you should start, what you should do with your fantasy lineups. That's something that I think is a Sunday morning tradition around here, as people post their lineups and we help them figure out what to do. So check out our Discord at pitcherlist.com/plus. As well as checking out our Sit Start article and Eric's ranking. So thank you so much for listening, and I best of luck. I don't know what kind of alternate universe we're going to find ourselves in this time next week, but I don't know, maybe if the NFL wanted to bring things slightly back to normal, that'd be pretty cool. So see you guys next week.